Let's go ahead and open in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day, Lord. You're such a loving God, and you have given us another day that we can serve you, and we thank you for that. Lord, we pray that you would help us as we look in your word this week. I pray for each one who's not here this morning for whatever reason, Lord. I know that there's some appointments and things like that that people have to go to, and I pray especially for Sarah Beth that she has to leave early to go to the dentist. And I just pray, Lord, for Sarah Beth that she's had so many appointments and all, and it's just not been very pleasant at all. Not just expensive, but it's just been some really difficult work that she's had done. So I pray that you'd go with her today and just help her to be calm and peaceful about it. Lord, I pray that that they wouldn't find any more issues as they go in and do what they have to do today. And Lord, I pray for Brandy as she's at home and will be here in a little bit, but she has a telephone interview and a situation, Lord, that it really needs to be resolved, and we just pray that you would resolve that for her, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for each one of our online students, and I pray that that you would be with them as they go about their week. Help them to be diligent in their studies and accountable to their accountability partners. And Lord, I know how important that is for each one of us to have people that we are accountable to. And I just pray that we could be there for those that live in other states and that can't fellowship with us. Lord, I pray for the day that we could all meet face to face. I look forward to that day. Lord, I thank you for this lesson this week. It's been such a blessing as we looked at the exchanging of robes. And I pray that you would guide us into truth this morning. There's some such exciting truths for us to grasp from this lesson, and I pray that you would make it real to us today. Lord, I thank you for each one here, each one who can't be here. Guide us together as we learn about your covenant. In Jesus Christ's name and will I pray, amen. One thing I want to share with you before I start into the lesson is that one of our online students emailed me his answer to the question. Remember our icebreaker questions from the first week? And Crystal had shared last week that she ate fried rattlesnake, was the weirdest thing she ever ate. Well, Dallas, he says that his most valuable possession, remember I asked for most valuable possession, it had to be a possession, not a person. And he said, my most valuable possession is my iPod Touch. I use it all day long. Amelia liked that too, because that's one of her most valuable possessions. I use it to listen to Christian music on my way to and from work. I walk on a treadmill every day at lunch and listen to podcasts from my favorite pastors while I'm walking. I have 11 and 8-year-old boys that play hockey. I use it to keep track of their schedule and my schedule. And now I use it on Tuesday evening to listen to the Precept Camden Bible Study. So that was fun to hear from that. But one of the things that I want to do that's kind of fun for our online students, and I'll do it again for y'all that are in person. And actually, I'm going to do it for all of you, whether you're here or a part of our class and listening to the podcast, or if you're an online student. I'm going to have a drawing for a Precept Camden t-shirt, and what you're going to have to do is answer a question and email it to preceptcamden@gmail.com. And so I'm going to wait to the end of the class to tell you what the question is, and so you will email your response, and it's one of those things, it's not a right or wrong answer, but you have to know what the question is to know what to say. And so at the end of the class, I will give you the question, and if you email it by Friday, this Friday, somebody tell me the date of this Friday.
17th.
It's the 17th, September 17th, this Friday. Email it by then. And I'll just take everybody's name, put them in a hat or whatever, and draw it out. So, we have a lot to cover this morning with exchanging of robes, so we want to get right to it. First of all, I want to, just as a way of review, what is the definition of covenant? First of all, what's the word? Berit, B-E-R-I-Y-T-H, Berit, and what does that mean?
A compact.
Okay.
Trust.
well, that was Karath, but it's used in connection with covenant, and it's translated what? When we've seen that word Karath before. How is it used in connection with covenant?
Made.
To make or make, to made a covenant or make a covenant, and it's cut a covenant. And so a covenant is a solemn binding agreement. And according to the definition found in the Theological Word Book of the Old Testament, that was quoted in your lesson this week, what three things accompany covenant according to the Theological Word Book of the Old Testament? Signs,
sacrifices,
and a solemn oath. All right, what are some of the, we looked at a lot of different covenants last week. What are some of the signs that we saw of a covenant?
A rainbow.
Okay, a rainbow was a sign of the, of what covenant?
With God and
Noah. Okay. All right, what were some other signs? Do you remember?
Circumcision.
Okay. What sign of, what covenant is that a sign of?
That's for Abraham.
Okay. Okay, the Abrahamic covenant. Okay. Anything else? How did we see sacrifices with covenants? What covenants did we see a sacrifice accompany that covenant?
You're talking about when they were like cut and split in half?
Well, that's one. What was that? Which covenant was that? Okay, that was the one with Abraham and God, and that was when we saw Abraham cut the pieces in half and lay them on the altar, and then a smoking oven and a flaming torch passed between the pieces. And also with the covenant with Noah, remember after he came off of the ark when all the waters had receded and they came out, what did he do? He built an altar. And we saw several other places where people built altars. Well, altars are for what?
Sacrifices.
Okay. And then the solemn oath. We saw an exchanging of oaths in some of the covenants. Do you have any of examples of that that you remember?
Well, Abimelech made one with
okay, we saw that that covenant between Abraham and Abimelech over the well, and there was an exchange of oaths there. You give me right to use this well, and then you don't harm me, and we saw that. All right, let's move on. What covenant relationship in the Old Testament is used as our example in this week's lesson? Okay, we have the relationship of Jonathan and David is our example as we talked about the exchanging of robes. What do you learn from 1 Samuel chapter 18 verses 1 through 5? We looked at that about their relationship. What are some of the things that we learned about their relationship in those verses?
That Jonathan loved him as himself.
Okay, Jonathan loved David as himself. What did it say about their souls? Jonathan's soul was knit to David's soul. Okay, in verse 3, what did we see that they did?
They made a covenant.
They made a covenant. And what signs accompanied this covenant? Okay, it tells us that Jonathan took off his robe, what else? His armor, and then his weapons, his sword, his bow, and his belt. And what did he do with them? He gave them to David. Okay, when Jonathan gave David his robe, what was the symbolism? Okay, David, when he took that robe and that armor, David symbolically put on who?
Jonathan.
It was like he was putting on Jonathan. All right, we looked at Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29, and what are some things we learned from that scripture? Okay. Who has clothed themselves with Christ? And how does it describe it here? All who were what?
Baptized.
Who were baptized into Christ. And again, this word baptized is not talking about water baptism here. It's talking about an identification. And I think that was explained in your workbook too. But it says all who were baptized into Christ, those are believers, have clothed themselves with Christ. Okay? Now, what else does it tell us about all in Christ Jesus? Or what?
Abraham's descendants.
Okay, Abraham's descendants.
Heirs according to the promise.
What?
Heirs according to the promise.
Heirs according to the promise. And does it say that we're all one in Christ Jesus? Okay, so we have this picture here of believers have been clothed with Christ. We're heirs according to the promise, and we're Abraham's descendants, all one in Christ Jesus. And what we want to do is keep thinking in your mind about that picture of Jonathan and David making a covenant, and then we're taking the New Testament references and seeing if there's any parallel for us today as believers. Now, we look at Romans 13, verses 12 through 14. And what does that tell us there that we are to do?
Well, if we have clothed ourselves with Jesus Christ, then we are to behave properly.
Okay. And it tells us that we are to do what?
Lay aside the deeds of the darkness and put on the armor of light.
Okay, so it says lay aside these things, deeds of darkness. But then we are to put on what?
The armor of light.
Can you see that same symbolism there as you think about Jonathan and David and this covenant, that sign of the covenant, where we are to lay aside or put off the deeds of darkness, we are to put on the armor of light. What are these deeds of darkness? Okay. Strife. Provision for the flesh. Okay, what are we to put on? How is this armor of light described?
The Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. But it also says that we are to behave how?
Properly.
It says, let us behave properly. So I see that. I put that under here. It's put on the armor of light. Put on proper behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Put on Jesus Christ. And so we think, well, what is proper behavior? You know, it's really hard being an old lady in the year 2010 because I'm an old lady. And I was raised a long time ago, but raised in the South. And then even worse than that, or better than that, I should say, raised in South Carolina. And there is a definite code of what's proper and what's not. And so there's just, let me tell you, violations left and right when you're raised the way I was, because no one behaves properly anymore. So, you know, is it my standard that's proper, or is it your standard that's proper? What is proper behavior? And we're going to look at that in some scriptures as we move forward here.
We definitely need to be set apart. We ought to look different. We ought to behave different.
Right.
We ought to look different.
And it's telling us that we are to lay aside these deeds. Now, what are those? Carousing, drunkenness, sexual promiscuity, sensuality, strife, jealousy, provision for the flesh, and it also talks about the flesh's lust. And these are called deeds of what? Darkness. It's darkness. And I think as Christians, we dabble in these things. And it's so black and white, really, in Scripture. And literally black and white, because it's called darkness and what? And light. There's a difference between darkness and light.
It's hard to understand how if you put on Christ's coat, if you put on his armor, how can you continue on in the same behavior?
Right.
It doesn't work.
All right, let's look at Ephesians 4. We looked at verses 22 through 24, and those correspond, or we want to ask the question, what act in Ephesians 4, 22 through 24 corresponds to the Old Testament act of exchanging robes? What is the exchange in Ephesians 4?
Your old self and the new self. The old self
and the new self. And it tells us that we are to do what?
Lay aside
the old self. And we are to put on what? The new self.
Which is in the likeness of God, righteousness and holiness of truth.
Okay, and we're going to talk about that. And if you might want to make a list, and you may have already made a list in your lesson, and so you could just look at that. But what are the things that characterize the old self? Now, when we talk about old self and new self, what's another way to say that? Before Christ and after Christ, okay? Unsaved, saved. So, what are the things that characterize the old self? How does the old self behave? We were talking about proper behavior. How does the old self behave? Okay, that's from Romans. Is that from Romans?
Yeah.
Well, let's look at Ephesians and how does it describe the old self?
Corrupted with lust of the sea.
Okay. Right, and that's what I'm going for. It's above verse 22. I said verse 22, but it goes up to what verse, Liz?
17.
Verse 17. The old self walks in the futility of its mind. Do you see that? It's because it says, so this I say and affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer, just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind. And then what does it go on saying there? How else do they walk?
Darkened in their understanding. Excluded from the life of God.
Okay. Excluded from the life of God because of what?
Ignorance
and
the hardness of their heart.
Mm-hmm. All right. How else are they described? They've become what?
Callous.
And they've given themselves over to what?
Sensuality, for the practice of every kind of impurity with greed.
Okay. And then they are corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit. So you see this picture here of the old self and what it looks like. Does that look like a believer? Is that what a believer should look like? No, because we are to lay aside the old self. And then it tells us to put on the new self. It says in verse 24, put on the new self. And what are the things that characterize the new self? Okay. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. What else?
Created in righteousness.
Okay. And verse 24 where it says put on the new self, it says this new self is in what?
The likeness of God.
The likeness of God. Created in righteousness and what else?
Holiness.
And then part of the new self is laying aside what? Part of the new self is laying aside what in verse 25?
Falsehood.
Laying aside falsehood. Do what?
Speak the truth.
Speak the truth. Stop being a liar. Speak the truth.
Be angry and be
nothing. Okay. It tells us too that we are members of what? members of one another. How does that correspond to that picture of David and Jonathan? Their souls were knit together. Jonathan put on David, and David put on Jonathan. We are members of one another. We're to be angry but not sin. Okay? What else are some things it tells us as the new self?
Not give the devil an opportunity.
All right.
Speak in edification.
Okay.
Remember, so that you might be able to help others.
To labor, yeah.
Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth.
No unwholesome words. What else?
Steal no longer.
Okay, which goes with laboring. Don't steal, but work.
Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God.
Okay. That's in verse 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And then what gives us a little list of things that we're to put away. And malice. And then we're to be what?
Kind.
Kind.
Tenderhearted
and forgiving. Be kind, tenderhearted, and forgiving. And so we have really a comprehensive picture there of what we should look like before we were saved and then what we should look like after we're saved. Right? All right, how does Romans 6, 1 through 7. All right, let's look at Romans 6, 1 through 7. What does Romans 6, 1 through 7 tell us? And really, if you did the Romans study with us, what is the whole chapter of Romans 6 talking about? Right, it's giving a contrast here. The entire chapter is a contrast between being a slave to sin and a slave to righteousness. And so I'm going to put that up here on the board because I think that the slave to sin goes where? Here, right? Oh, none of my markers are working very well. Let me pick one that might work better. All right, slave to sin. And as we did the study in Romans, we saw that it was a clear picture, a clear distinction between slaves of sin and slaves to righteousness. And the slave to righteousness belongs to someone who's what? A saved person. It was a clear contrast, especially when you look at chapter 6, 7, and 8 together. But so we can put a slave to righteousness over here, and I'm going to put plus R. That's our little abbreviation for righteousness. So when you lay aside the deeds of darkness and the old self, that in Romans 6, that's that picture of being a slave to sin, right? The old self. Put on the armor of light, the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the new self. That's a picture of being a slave to righteousness. Okay, here's that word again, baptism, that we saw in another verse. And here again, it doesn't mean water baptism. It's talking about an identification or a unification with Christ, being unified or united with Him. And so what does Romans 6, 1 through 7 tell us about when we are saved, we're what?
Baptized into His death.
Okay. We are identified with Christ. We are baptized into His death. And it says in verse 5, we've become united with Him in the likeness of His death. And what does it tell us in verse 6 about our old self?
Was crucified with Him.
Okay, this old self has been crucified with Christ. And because of that, we're no longer what? It says we're no longer slaves to sin. For he who has died, verse 7 said, is freed from sin. And we won't go into this whole thing, the whole chapter, as much as I love to talk about this chapter in Romans. But we just want to see this identification that we have with Christ through his death, that we are identified, united with him in his death. Our death is death to sin, right? The rule of sin, being slaves to sin in our lives. Okay, in Colossians 3, let's look over at Colossians chapter 3. And we looked at verses 3 through 6 in our lesson, I think. It was those three, Colossians 3, verses 3 through 6. And what does Paul tell the Colossians here? You have what? Says you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And what does it tell us in verse 5 that we should consider?
The members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry.
Okay, so again, those things that belong to the old self are dead. They've died. How?
They died when you took them from Christ.
Right, they died with Christ. You have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, all those things that belong to the old self. So as we look at Romans chapter 6, those first 7 verses, and this passage in Colossians, how do they compare with one another? What are they telling us here?
Basically the same thing.
It's still talking about this old self, new self, isn't it? Our old self has been crucified with Christ, right? The old self is crucified with Christ. The new self is what?
Alive in Christ.
It says, been raised to walk with him. Our new self is resurrected with Christ and walks in newness of life, not in sin. Okay, well, that's what we have to remember. We walk in newness of life. We don't walk in sin. So again, we see this picture of this old self and new self. You see a very clear picture of that in Scripture. All right, Colossians 3 tells us to put on what things? Okay, verse 10 it says, put on the new self, or have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Okay, verse 12. What does verse 12 tell us about the new self?
Bearing with one another and forgiving each other.
Okay.
Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, you also should.
All right, that's 13. Let's look at 12. Put on what?
Heart of compassion.
Okay, you see, put on a heart of compassion. Yeah, and I'm not going to write all those things out, but if you were making a list, you would be getting a full list over here of those things that go with the new self and the things we're to put off with the old self. The new self, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. What does verse 14 tell us to put on? Put on love, which is what? The perfect bond of unity. Okay, unity with who? The love is the perfect bond of unity with who? With Christ and with believers, with other believers. And we saw that we were members of one another earlier on. And so we keep on thinking about this relationship of David and Jonathan and how Jonathan put on David and David put on Jonathan. How do these things that we've just talked about with the new self, how do those things reflect putting on Christ? All these, We didn't list all these things here, but that heart of compassion, kindness, forgiveness, the being renewed in the spirit of your mind, all those things that we talked about dealing with the new self, how is that? How does that reflect putting on Jesus? What does that mean? That's the character of Christ, isn't it? All of those things we listed, that's exactly right. It talks about being made in the likeness of His image, and putting Him on is putting on His character. As we start putting on Christ and putting on His character, what should be displayed in our lives?
Love, kindness.
His character should be displayed in our life. All those things that we talked about. Okay, do you see any parallel in all these New Testament scriptures that we've looked at where all of them we could put under one side here, the old self or the new self? Do you see any parallel to the symbolism of exchanging of robes that we looked at with David and Jonathan? I was going to do one of my works of art up here on the board. To me, it made me, to draw it out as an illustration, helped me to see it even more. But we have here the old self. And if you're listening, I'm going I'll take a picture of the board and I'll post it on Precept Camden's Facebook. But we have the old self here. Okay. So the old self is wearing a robe. But what is this robe that this old self is wearing? We could sum it up in one word.
Sin.
Because we're slaves to sin, right? Before we're saved. So the old self and all those things that we listed that we're supposed to lay aside, those are all sins, right? So the old self is clothed with a robe of sin. Well, we are commanded to do what with this robe? We're to lay aside, take it off. So lay aside this old robe or take off the robe of sin. So I kind of drew it just like it was, I'm not an artist, but like it was laying on the floor. We took it off, okay? So we take off the robe of sin. Then the new self is over here. And so here's a robe. And what are we commanded to do with it? Okay. So it says, put on what kind of robe? If this one's a robe of sin, we're putting on what kind of robe? And think about Romans 6, a robe of righteousness. So we're putting on a robe of righteousness. So here's the new self. Okay, and the new self has on, it's a robe of righteousness, but is it our righteousness? No, it's the righteousness of God. All right, so I mean, that's just a simple, silly little illustration of what we looked at in the New Testament references, right? How we have on this, the old self is wearing a robe of sin, and we're told to take that off, lay it aside. And then we're told to put on a robe of righteousness. So take this one off, put this one on. Now when we think about the parallel to the symbolism of the exchanging of robes with Jonathan and David, we saw that Jonathan did what with his robe? Okay. It says Jonathan took off his robe. And put it on who? Okay, he put it on David. So, David took on whose identity? Okay, so we see that David took on the identity of Jonathan. Up here, what is the parallel?
We put on Jesus.
We take on the identity of Christ. Does everybody see that? And I'm sure you saw it before. To me, it just made it easier, or I could put it in a way to remember it and organize it in my mind if I put it in an illustration. Now, we looked at 1 Samuel chapter, what was it we looked at first? We talked about 1 Samuel 18, where Jonathan takes off his robe and his armor and his belt and gives it to David. Now, next week you're going to be talking about looking at the idea of the exchange of armor. But we don't see in that passage where it says that David did the same thing. And so if you only read that passage, it might look like that was a one-sided relationship or a one-sided covenant. How do we know that that covenant and that relationship was not one-sided? Okay, it does.
Their souls were knit together.
It does. It says their souls were knit together. But we looked at another scripture in 1 Samuel chapter 20. In 1 Samuel chapter 20, look at verses 17 and 23. And how does that tell us that this was not a one-sided relationship or covenant? It says, Jonathan made David what?
Vow
again. Okay, and that word vow, I mark that like covenant. That is an oath. A vow is a covenant word. And I mark that the same way that I mark covenant. But it says, Jonathan made David vow again. Indicating that David had already done what? He had vowed before at some point. So because of his love for him, because he loved him as he loved his own wife. Now, in verse 23, it says, as for the what?
Agreement.
I mark that the same as covenant too. Of which you and I have spoken, behold what? What does he say?
The Lord is between you and me forever.
Okay, the Lord is between you and me forever. And so we see that this agreement, he's between you and me. So we see he vowed again. So that shows us that if we only looked at the scripture in chapter 18 of 1 Samuel, then we wouldn't have the whole picture. But you see here more information and you see the two-sidedness of that relationship and that covenant. So, David put on who?
Jonathan.
And that means he identified himself with Jonathan. Jonathan did what?
Put on David.
He identified himself with David. How have we put on Christ? If you are a believer, what does that mean that you have put on Christ?
You realize that your righteousness is not all that great, and you set it aside and put on Christ, because that's the only way you can stand before God.
Okay, and I think it goes back to Romans chapter 6 too, how our old self has been what? Crucified with Christ. Our new self has been raised to walk in newness of life. That's why baptism is such a beautiful picture of the inward conversion, because there are people that believe that baptism saves you, and it doesn't. It's a picture. It's symbolic, and it's a beautiful picture. And I also believe that, and I know people get into the different kinds of baptism, sprinkle, dunking, whatever, but the picture is only there if you are immersed in water. And so that's what the picture is being dead. Going under the water is a picture of what? Dying, going into the grave, and then being raised to walk in newness of life. And so that's the symbolism. The symbolism is lost, I believe. And you know, I don't want to get into the whole, you know, how people believe baptism should be done. But I just believe that the symbolism that we see here in Scripture is lost if it's not. But it's not that that saves you. There's nothing special in the water. It's not holy. But it gives you that picture of that being dead, crucified with Christ. And then we're raised to walk in newness of life. And that new life is Christ that we have put on. We are identifying ourselves with Him. Now it says, or we have seen how we are to put on Christ and we're to be clothed with His image. But we want to ask the question, just like we saw that Jonathan, or David put on Jonathan, and then we saw in chapter 20 of 1 Samuel how that Jonathan had put on David, that it was an exchange there. Well, we have clothed ourselves in His image. Did Christ ever put on or identify with us? And where do you see that? Okay, what do we see in Philippians? That was Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. What does it tell us about Christ there?
He emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of man.
And he had appearance as a man, and he humbled himself, and he was obedient to what?
The point of death.
The point of death on a cross. So we see in Philippians that what did Christ lay aside? Say that? The form of God. He was still God, but he did lay aside his position in heaven, so to speak. Because it says he humbled himself and took on the form of what? A bondservant. And he was made in the likeness of men. We saw this explained also in Hebrews chapter 2. And what did you learn in Hebrews chapter 2? Okay. Okay. It tells us here that he became flesh and blood, just like us. He became a flesh and blood human being. And why did he do that?
So that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of people.
Okay, and right before that also it says that he might render powerless him. Who is him there? Satan. Do y'all mark every reference to the devil with a red pitchfork?
Mm-hmm.
Do you use black? Well, there should be a pitchfork there. Him who had the power of death, that is the devil. And so he rendered Satan powerless so that he could become a merciful and faithful high priest and make propitiation or payment for the sins of the people. So Jesus laid aside his kingly robe and its privileges and put on flesh and blood. He put on the robe of flesh and blood. He identified himself with mankind by becoming what? By becoming a man. He identified himself with man by becoming a man. I'd just like for y'all to share with me some of the things that were meaningful to you about the specifically the putting the exchanging of robes that we looked at this week. Was this a new concept to anyone?
Yes. I felt it was very convicting once I saw that we put on Jesus after we're saved, because if you think about it that way, you may not be giving Jesus a very good rep.
That's true. Anybody else? I think about this, like I talked before about dabbling, how Christians, I think, dabble in some of these things we had listed up here with the old self and those deeds of darkness, and we're dabbling with them, and we have no place in that. That's the old self, that we have laid that aside. We've taken that robe off, and we've put on the robe of righteousness.
I feel like it's like getting his robe dirty when we don't behave properly. I mean, he's given us a beautiful, shiny,
right,
gorgeous robe that's more beautiful than anything. And when we sin, we get it, or a piece of jewelry that's got nice and shiny, and we just get it tarnished when we let ourselves dabble in sin.
It's kind of like people, go ahead.
Not fully understanding what you're doing alone.
Right. And that's why knowing the word's important. So you know how you're supposed to live. And I think about people that you see on TV sometimes, that people that die in squalor and they have millions of dollars in the bank. Have you ever seen stories about people like that? And you think that they were living like that, but they could have had, you know, this beautiful home and nice clothes. And they just, you know, lived in filth and degradation, and it didn't have to be that way. And I think that what Sherry said is true. A lot of times we don't realize that, and that's why I think Romans chapter 6 is so important to our understanding as Christians, to know that we are not slaves to sin.
I think too, we don't take it serious. It's just like if you buy yourself a new outfit. Let's say you bought yourself a white pair of jeans and a white denim jacket to match, and you wouldn't trot out mud in that.
Right.
Why not? Well, I mean, this is much greater than that could ever be.
Right.
And yet we treat it
like we make him smaller than what he really is.
Yeah, we do. So putting on the new self means putting on the character of Christ. That means that I should think, look, talk, and act like Christ. And the question is, do I? All right, I said at the beginning that we were going to have a contest, and the thing that I want you to answer is, and you email your answer to preceptcamden@gmail.com, and you have to do it by this Friday, which is what date, Cindy? How do you know that?
Because her party's on the 18th. Allie's party's on the 18th.
Oh, okay.
I have to know that. That's the only reason I know.
I'm like, she knew that date right off. I rarely know what the date
that's
is.
The only reason.
Friday, this Friday, the 17th of September, you have to email me your answer. What is the best thing or the most amazing thing that you have learned about covenant so far? And what we've looked at in these two lessons, what's just the thing that's been the, you know, to you, just the most meaningful or amazing thing that you've learned about covenant so far. So you email me your answer to that, and I will put you in the drawing for a Precept Camden t-shirt. So, anybody have anything else to add? Any questions? Brandy, do you have any questions? I know that you came right here at the end. Did your appointment go well?
Yeah. Ball's rolling.
Praise the Lord. Okay.
My only question that I had, I'm sure y'all probably went over, on page 17, number 4 had an A, B, and C. It said, according to the definition that was listed above, the covenant was accompanied by what, three things?
Oh.
I didn't really understand that.
Okay, well, signs, sacrifices, and a solemn oath.
Okay. I was looking like in...
Yeah, we did. We talked about that.
And
yeah.
Okay.
Now, when we looked at... We made that chart last week. We didn't see all of those in each one, did we? But as you put them all together, you see these things recur when it comes to covenants. Okay. We'll watch our DVD now.